2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Welcome back. We're here with episode 6 of our 2 Timothy study. And just a reminder that we have met a letter from Paul to Timothy, and we just really want to remember that this is kind of a hostile age. So Paul has taught through a hostile age of the environment they're living in, the dictator, Nero, and then we also have warnings about people in this book. And we're actually going to keep talking about people today.
Lots of people.
Paul is calling out people that have done a good job. We got grandmas and moms and good friends that have visited him in prison. We've also got some people that we should not be like, which we will keep them unnamed, poor people in this book. and then we just had kind of a list in the last chapter of just watch out for that. And our discussion kind of went inward, like, oh, are we those people?
Right.
Which I think is always so healthy. Mm-hmm. And Paul's continuing to talk about people. And so let's jump into this book and see kind of where he takes us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we're starting in verse 10 in this episode, and it's very much connected to what we talked about last time, because he says, you, however, by contrast, he just listed all those people. We remember that long list of like ungrateful, unholy, lovers of self and money and all of that, difficulties coming because of people. But then he looks at Timothy and says, you, however. So he's about to tell him, do something different. Mm-hmm. And it's, this section to me, it's so surprising, because when we think about, we'll see in this passage, people are going from bad to worse. We're seeing a lot of opposition to the gospel. We're seeing difficulty. We're seeing people who are going astray. Mm-hmm. And that usually makes us want to take up arms and fight. I'm going to push back the resistance with all of my effort and energy. And so it's like, is that what you're about to tell him to do?
Right.
Paul, are you about to look at Timothy and be like, all right, you know, let's get going. Let's fight back. And he does not say that.
Yeah.
He essentially is going to tell him, Timothy, stay the course. Stay on the path. Like, that's his active resistance, mm-hmm. which says, you, however, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience. He makes this long list and says, Timothy, you followed me. And then he'll say in verse 14, but as for you, continue. So you've watched me. Now you keep going. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hearkening back to that chapter 2, verse 2. Mm-hmm. What I was entrusted with, I gave to you. You entrust to others. He's kind of giving us this image again of this is the resistance, is faithful people not fighting back those evil people out there, but just going, I'm going to look to faithful people like Paul. He says, Timothy, look at my life. And then, Timothy, you continue in that and bring right. others along after you.
Mm-hmm. That would feel like a sideways pill to swallow for me
yeah.
because Paul is in prison. So yeah. following Paul's path means suffering.
Yeah.
But Paul followed Jesus's path.
Yeah.
Which equaled
suffering. Right into suffering.
So that would be a wrestling moment, I think, in the letter mm-hmm. for me if I'm Timothy of like, could we try a different option
right.
for my own comfort right. and my own safety?
Is there a B?
Right.
Is there yes, option exactly. B what? That is not that?
Yeah. And I'm kind of giggling, but seriously, like that right. would not. I don't know how encouraging those lines in this letter would feel mm-hmm. to me of like.
No, not in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, and it's as if, you know, to just make it worse. It sounds weird to say worse because he's just said, you followed all my persecutions, follow me. He promises him, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Yep.
There's your coffee mug verse
right.
for 2 Timothy.
Seriously.
You desire to live a godly life, you will. It's a promise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All will be. It is literally written like promise language, mm-hmm. like the promises we commit to memory. And he's just, make to your point, he's kind of like, Don't try and escape it. There's no other way. Settle in. And also know, if you're experiencing that, you're not doing anything wrong. It's actually a good sign.
Yeah.
Like, hey, congratulations. You're on the narrow path. You're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
It's not comforting in the sense that we want it to be.
Right.
That is true.
And it is comforting to suffering that's already happened. Probably at this point, Timothy has suffered at the hands of, I mean, he's already been through several journeys with Paul. He's seen it happen. He's like, you're aware of what happened in these places. So Timothy's not like, I haven't suffered, but I'm going to. He's already suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's kind of like, you saw how I went through this. We've been through this. Mm-hmm. And if you are being persecuted or suffering in the cause of Christ, this is actually wildly comforting.
Yeah.
Because it is the voice that's like, you didn't do it wrong. You're actually
that's
doing
right.
it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our immediate context is not, you know, we'll experience a social persecution. I think that's very real. Like, there are costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's being ostracized and stuff. But I think for anyone in the global church being persecuted, it's an incredible comfort
mm-hmm.
that everyone who came before you, mm-hmm. you're on the right path. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Just continue to do that.
Yeah.
Continue to do it. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, I also want to pull out something that I think is really interesting in this passage. If you know, one of the things we say a lot in Bible study is paying attention to repeated words
mm-hmm.
are a huge clue to what's happening in the passage. And one of the repeated words in this section is the word my. It's taking this idea we're talking about of following somebody's life to a very personal level. Like you just said it.
Yeah.
Paul's going, you know what we've been through, Timothy. He's mm-hmm. kind of recalling to Timothy's mind this real personal exchange that they had. Mm-hmm. You saw my life, not our life,
yeah.
though he could have said that. Not their life, though he could have said it. He said, you saw me, and you were with me. And it reminds me of the importance for myself that I need individual people to follow,
mm-hmm.
not just a crowd. Like, I need to come into this church, to Stonegate Church, and not just see a crowd of people and go, that's enough for me to stay on the path. Like, I see this crowd of people walking Jesus. I actually need individual women and their life stories. Mm-hmm. I need to watch them suffer mm-hmm. and see how they keep their faith mm-hmm. strong. Like, I need this personal, no, I know what she went through, and I saw her cling to Jesus in that. And that is actually going to help me resist the temptation to go astray and stay on the path when mm-hmm. things are getting hard. And I think that's I don't know who's been that for you guys. Maybe somebody comes to mind. I'd love to hear about it and how that's impacted your ability to stay faithful because of those stories.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any things that you recall, Jen? Any people?
Well, I was actually thinking an opposite thought in the idea of, like, you're talking about people in your touchable people.
Right, right, right.
I think depending on where you kind of fall in your age category, mm-hmm. especially probably 20s and 30s, maybe early 40s, if the person and the people that you're looking to for examples of life mm-hmm. are mainly through social media,
yeah,
you're only getting the parts they are controlling.
That's right.
And I'm not even going to go with, like, secular. Let's just say, like,
right.
these wonderful Christian mm-hmm. men and women who do podcasts or are pastors or authors. And I think we can gain and glean things from them. What I've noticed is, though, when suffering hits their life, they go off the internet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's wisdom in that for them
right.
as a public figure. Not wrong, not right. We're not talking about their decision. But what we don't get to do is watch
mm-hmm.
the suffering.
That's
we
right.
don't get to watch how they are handling the day to day or the conversations or the ups and downs. And so I think there's a real danger in if we don't find people to do life with elbow to elbow.
Right.
And some of my stories I would think about with women here and their testimonies, I've gotten to watch them from afar. But one of the things I'm watching is they are there every Sunday.
That's right.
Their hands are raised in worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they're going through.
Right.
They're I'm watching the embrace of their husband in this auditorium, a single who just got their heart broken and are
right.
still coming and sitting alone.
Right.
So there's observation from afar in, but it's still within our body.
It's still, yeah, local context.
And I'm seeing mm-hmm. a rhythm in their life. And then there's, like, super close where I'm going to talk to you almost every day. I'm going right. to check in. How are you doing? How was your doctor's appointment
right.
to find out the bad news? How are you handling that? So there are levels, but I just want to put a warning out. If, like, the main way you're watching Christian women is only through authors, podcasters, you really aren't getting
that's right
the richness and the like need that you need mm-hmm. for structure or like for the suffering side
right.
of life, because they need to get off public. They mm-hmm. got too many people giving right. opinions, but you really aren't their yeah. real friend, right. you know, and their yeah. real, you're their sister globally in Christ, but not in the body of like the local church that you attend. Mm-hmm. So I think that's so important.
I think that's such a good warning, because that's what Paul is giving Timothy as his strength to resist mm-hmm. in the time that he's in, is memories Timothy has yeah. of watching Paul. And you have those memories of those real people. And I mm-hmm. have them too,
yeah.
of people I watch walk mm-hmm. into our church, and just being married to Jimmy and the things that he's stepping into, hospital visits, and then he'll come home. And as a family, we're praying for these couples.
Right.
A husband with a terminal illness mm-hmm. that did die, right? Mm-hmm. Or same, a wife I know. Like, these are stories in this church of people who are facing death head on.
Yeah.
It's affecting their families. We're watching them walk through it
yeah.
without abandoning the faith, saying, Jesus, you're worthy no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Marriage is ending and coming to an end in a way that somebody didn't want, but just the other person walked away. Mm-hmm. And yet they're still here worshiping God and mm-hmm. still going, I'm going to serve others.
Yeah.
You know, I have those memories. You have those memories. And that's actually what we need. That's what yeah. Timothy needed. That's what we need. And I think it is a good warning to go, who are those examples? Are they too far away, or are they in my local body?
Yeah.
If they're not, mm-hmm. if you're listening and you're like, that's not what's happening in my life. All my examples are digital. Mm-hmm. Then this is an invitation, I think, to start to look around this church and go, who do you see? Who are you watching that you can tell they're here every week? They're serving. Yeah. They're joyful. Mm-hmm. They're others focused. Yeah. Or they're just in the later stages of their life. They're empty nesters. They're in retired seasons. And they still love Jesus. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
You
yes.
know, friends of mine walked away from the faith in college, mm-hmm. in early adulthood. Like, so to stay, just to be faithful in the later yeah. years of your life, go find those people and mm-hmm. do what Timothy says. It says, you've investigated my life, Timothy.
Right.
Go investigate their lives. Go ask mm-hmm. them to coffee. Say, can I ask you questions about your life?
Well, that is such a lost art. That is the
I mean,
you hadn't even said it yet. And my suggestion was going to be like, if you volunteer in kids ministry with 5-year-olds mm-hmm. and they're doing a craft, you can stand there with the adult and ask questions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then say, would you be willing to get coffee? We have to be a little braver.
That's right.
About being nosy.
Yes.
Oh. You know?
I love that.
And it's like,
it's good work about being nosy, guys. Come
just,
on.
Just ask. And,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
because there's a freedom in, like, if I ask, I'm okay with the answer you gave. So the person gets to share.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
People love to talk about themselves.
That's right.
Like, I mean, everybody. Just be real here. Like,
yeah.
But we don't ask questions.
We don't ask questions.
I've been amazed. I moved away for several years, and I would get asked to coffee, and then the person would sit there and only talk about themselves. It would just made me laugh so much. I'm like, they didn't care anything about what I thought, you know? And that's fine, but it's like the art of asking questions right. is like so gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can do better.
Yeah.
We can do better, ladies.
Get curious about someone's life.
Yeah. What are a couple questions? Like, let's just do what are a couple good questions?
Tell me how you came to know Jesus. Yeah. Know someone. How did they come to Jesus? They weren't born that way.
Right.
So obviously God did something. How did you come to Jesus? Ask them how are you staying connected to Jesus? Yeah. I mean, those are two really simple, like, ask those. And that gets a huge conversation started. Yeah. And then other things go from there, asking them, how did you grow up? Mm. You find out that maybe it wasn't, their growing up could have been awesome, could have been awful. Mm. Ask them about their current season. If they're yeah. older and they're caring for their parents, how in the world is that going?
Yeah.
If they have kids, how's it going raising that age of kids? What age of kids do you have?
Yeah.
We have a age of discipleship that's like, I don't even see the insides of people's houses. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't think we can say we know someone if we haven't even seen the insides of their house. I don't know what your walls look like.
Yeah.
But learning to ask mm-hmm. questions to discover someone. And I want to encourage, we're in this age of life being older women, but older women, us and women older than us, there's a hesitancy because there's some embarrassment and some shame there, because here's what most women probably feel. I don't know if you could follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love. Mm. If they've grown in wisdom, they know everything that they're not, right?
Yeah.
I want to share all the places that I've tripped. I'm like,
yeah.
If I can help you avoid potholes,
yeah,
praise God.
Yes.
Because I've made a fool. Oh, I've yeah. landed on my face, my skin, yeah. my knees.
Yeah. I find that older women also
not in these good doing good things.
Yeah. Oops.
Let me tell you what not to do.
That's great.
It's true. I find a lot of women are hesitant to share the things that they feel like they've blown it.
Yeah.
Really blown it. Big things that feel hard to admit, hard to own. And so the first step forward with an older woman is like, maybe I'll tell you the things that went right and you'll want to, that'll be good. But a younger woman is looking for someone to be honest with her. Mm-hmm. And then in some ways, the meeting doesn't go quite how you thought. Mm-hmm. But older women and everyone involved share it all.
Yeah.
Because obviously Jesus has been faithful to you in it all. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we would be pointing to people anyway.
Yes.
If a younger woman is looking at me and looking at my life, what you're going to see over and over is he never left.
Right.
Let me just tell you, he never left. He never left. Well, but
part of enduring the suffering was getting to realize God never left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I like messed up a million times. I got to go back to the gospel truth. I got to walk in freedom again. Like, that is part of what you're getting to learn, you know? Yeah. So it's exactly that truth of like, but I feel it at a deeper level. I own it at a deeper level. Like, oh my gosh, I am really forgiven. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so good.
That's how it gets passed.
We got a little passionate on that part.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, we need people. I mean, this book is so people. We've been saying that. It's so people-centered. And Paul's biggest concern for Timothy is that he would continue. He would stay. What a good. Just stay the course. You don't need to do a new thing to resist the evil age. Mm-hmm. Just stay the course of faith. Mm-hmm. And he gives one other tool, really, one other thing to keep Timothy on the right path. Mm-hmm. It's not just people in his own story, but it's the word of God, an old, timeless thing. I mean, I just want to read part of it because I think it's really good for us in our age of new. Right? Oh, there's so much information, so many things to discover. Guys, we could research anything to death in a way that our parents never could. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're listening, you're young enough that your parents could have done that too.
You don't even have to dig anymore. You just go to ChatGPT and they've done all of it. That's even more scary.
So much research.
Everything. There's so much to learn.
Yeah.
And we want new things to learn. But Paul is like, no new, old. He says, continue in verse 14 in what you have learned. Not a new thing, what you already know, and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. There's kind of like a little throwback to Lois and Eunice, you know, his mom and grandma. Knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then you get this amazing verse that you should all commit to memory. Not John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So he's like, Timothy, you already know. You've believed it since you were a kid. You're super well acquainted with it. It's almost like he's looking at him saying, you've been doing these Bible stories since you were in Sunday school and you were doing them on a felt graph, you know. You know it. And that's actually his reminder, is to stay in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To stay in the old thing, that you need the true thing. You don't necessarily need a new thing. Mm-hmm. And that is a really good word, because I personally feel this temptation a lot. I'm like, I'm very familiar with the word now, praise God. But it's like, if I'm about to turn the page to jump into the book of Ephesians, I know what Ephesians is going to say.
Yeah.
But I don't know the answer to some of my pressing questions that I could find out through ChatGPT. And there's a temptation and an interest in like, oh, and I could figure out a new thing. Mm-hmm. What is the old? I already know what's there. Is it actually going to help me? And he's here promising it will. And that's his command, to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the old. I just think that's a good word for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all feel that temptation to chase the new.
Oh, yeah.
Even new Christian books out there.
Oh, absolutely.
About the Bible feel more interesting sometimes than just this old thing.
Well, the section right before us was like, you know, they'll accumulate teachers for themselves because they want to get what their ears are itching for, which is underneath all that, it's being fueled by their desires. And there's an itching for something new. I want to do a new reading on Paul. I want to read this thing that's new, and I want to have a new interpretation. Underneath that, it's just a permission or desire to live in our flesh or live in our lust. And so there's a lot that's like, can I get something new? Can I read that differently? How are we reading? There's whole movements based on, we're going to read this in a new way. The Bible's never been interpreted this way ever. and we like our new way, and it gives us permission to do what we want. And this is the new teaching we like. And so an itching for new it's actually going to lead us into bad places.
Yeah.
Because when we think we need a new thing, it will lead us to abandon what's true.
Yeah.
Like you said, we need a true thing, but not a new thing. Mm-hmm. And we tend to fall into the, like, new is better. New must be better.
Right.
New must always be better. Mm-hmm. And it isn't. And Paul, that's the reminder. Stay in the thing that's old.
Mm-hmm.
And old doesn't mean bad.
Right.
Old does mean tested.
Yeah.
Old means true. Old means
that's good.
You
that's good.
Can come at it again, again, and again. And it's going to hold up mm-hmm. every single time. That's why, like, you know, I hear my parents say this all the time. They're like, they don't make houses like they used to, you know?
Yeah.
That's like, you're probably right. The old house stayed. The old house stayed.
Yeah.
And the new mm-hmm. ones that came up quicker are probably not as strong.
Mm-hmm.
But the old ones have been tested.
Yeah.
So you need tested and true things because that's actually what stays. Mm-hmm. And I love that he mentioned stuff that you learned from childhood. I think that we kind of despise, like, things, mm-hmm. basics that you learned from childhood. But, like, that's actually the most essential thing you need for living. Like, you need to know these things.
Yeah.
And live them out.
Mm-hmm. I think a warning, I don't know if it's not a warning. I think an encouragement would just be that if something feels stale, mm-hmm. ask the Lord to breathe new life into it.
That's good.
It's not new life with
kindle afresh on that.
Yeah, exactly. Kindle afresh. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Renewing the joy of my salvation.
Yeah.
I sometimes just have to ask the Lord to do that. Mm-hmm. When you mm-hmm. get saved so many decades ago, it's like, I know. He's covered my sins. You know, and it's like, oh, my gosh. That sentence should kind of feel gross being so out of you. Yeah,
saying
I know.
So casually.
Mm-hmm. And it's and that's not condemnation. It's just check. It's a good heart check of, like, this doesn't give me any – and I don't think fluttering is always an indication, but there should be some sense in our soul of, like, mm-hmm. gratitude, repentance, mm-hmm. excitement. I think it's why our evangelism can get so dull. Mm-hmm. Our prayer life can get dull. And so mm-hmm. just ask the Lord to meet you in, God, would you renew my love for the mm-hmm. word, the joy of my salvation? What was it like? Go back there. Ask him, can you take me back to the moment I realized I am truly loved,
mm-hmm.
fully seen, fully known by a God who died for me and rose again. I mean, just whatever that takes, just asking him to do that, I think it is a work of the Spirit, just mm-hmm. like your salvation from mm-hmm. the moment
That's
was
right.
a work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we search to get those same feelings and excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what some of that searching is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
versus
so.
Just sitting with the Lord and asking him,
yes,
you know.
Yeah,
I think that's great to ask him first to awaken you to that, to mm-hmm. To rekindle your desires for his word. And then on a practical side, too, I mean, it's something I very practically do when it feels stale, when it feels old, is sometimes I'll just go, well, I'm going to change up how I'm getting into the Bible. Like, if I've been doing the same thing, I read through the Bible every year, mm-hmm. or I always read this way, or I read in the night journal. Sometimes I'm just, okay, I'm not going to get a new thing. I'm going to stay with my old thing that I know, mm-hmm. but I'm going to maybe find a new way to do it. So like one time I was like, I'm going to write out the epistles by hand. And that was so interesting because it gave me a different appreciation for Paul. Like, that's a lot of words to write down for somebody.
Yeah.
And it made me think about how much time it would have taken him to do that. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a sermon he preached. It was a letter he wrote
or
dictated.
Not a ballpoint pen.
Right. Or something new I've been doing lately is I was like, you know, I think I've been reading more for, like, breadth. Like, I want to read through the whole Bible in a year, which is a fast pace. Honestly, it's hard. I was like, I need to slow down and go really, really slow. So I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to take Romans one verse a day. I don't even know if I'll make it through the whole book, guys. But I'm like, I'm just going to take a verse a day and just take every phrase and just mm-hmm. kind of sit with it and go, what's significant about that phrase? Is there anything? Mm-hmm. I've never done that before with any book of the Bible, but it was something new to do, but with this old thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to say that, this old thing, but I mean, you know, this old timeless truth.
It's a metaphor.
And it was really, like, even just to sit with the word Paul, the book of Romans opens with Paul, and it was that fresh reminder that, God, your word came through real people in history.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's really special. I don't know any other religious text that feels like that, that it came mm-hmm. through a community of people.
Mm-hmm.
His name isn't mm-hmm. the only one at the beginning of all the letters. You see mm-hmm. Peter and James, and I'm like, what a unique thing in our faith. So it just gave me fresh ways to appreciate the word.
Yeah.
And so that can also be a real practical thing you could do is go, why don't I change up how I'm enjoying God's word? Maybe I'll listen to it today. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will read it out loud to myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will just take one verse a day and I'll just read it all day and just see what happens. Or ask your friends in your small group, community group, or in this Bible study that you're doing together, how are you enjoying God's word? Mm-hmm. And cultivate a few different ways to get into it alongside praying and going, but Lord, mm-hmm. by your spirit, would you awaken fresh love for this mm-hmm. God-breathed word that you've promised will make me complete mm-hmm. and equipped for every good work. That's a promise if I'll stay with it. I'm going to pray for you to awaken my heart, but also just gather for yourself. Maybe you're just not a good, you just learn differently. Yeah. Maybe you got to learn God's word in your own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've told people, read the Jesus Storybook Bible if you don't understand the Old Testament at first. It's like
it gives it
to you without getting into all of the extra history parts that may feel confusing, or mm-hmm. you get the breadth of the storyline,
right. mm-hmm.
and then you get to go back. And I mean, there's just so much freedom, mm-hmm. I think, in just how we explore. It's the key is, are we exploring God's word?
That's right.
Not just. Do you guys feel that with even advice giving? Like, do you always, I'm like, I'm saying the same thing. Like, you know, God's in control. And you can kind of feel like, I hate this that I just said that. That is exactly what's true.
Right.
I don't know. I feel it in the same, like, it's still the true thing. I'm saying the Bible. Right. So it's like,
yeah.
But it's like,
I don't
have
anything
like I have to have
you.
A fresh way to say it. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we're still thinking that new information is going to change everything. And it's not. New information for my suffering friend is not actually what my suffering friend needs.
Yeah.
Not new information isn't going to take her pain away.
Yeah.
New information didn't take my pain away. The truth will be what helps us suffer through it and endure it, but it's not the thing that takes the pain away. And I do think that if we're really convinced that what everyone needs, including me, is the true thing and not a new thing, I can say that with a lot more confidence to someone. Like, I know this is the thing that doesn't give you the most amount of ease right now, but you know this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But really what we come alongside and do is like, let me help you suffer through it. Let me help you endure it. That's what our presence does for people.
That's
right. That it's like, I'm going to come next to you. And as you struggle and I struggle to live out this true thing, let's live out the true thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And we come under that burden.
Right.
It's like you, and even it helps me. Like if I've suffered and someone just looks at me and is like, you know the answer. And I'm like, I do.
I know.
There's something helpful just in that person saying, there isn't an answer I'm going to give you. That's the thing. You know the answer. I'm like, I do know it. It's like, okay, then let's just acknowledge it's just hard.
Yes.
Even with just the answer.
Yes.
I think it's really good that we're saying, I know it doesn't feel good to say the same thing to people, but it is good because very obviously that's Paul's concern for
100%.
Timothy. Yeah. Is the temptation he sees that Timothy's going to have is to abandon the old thing
mm-hmm.
to pursue a new thing, which is why all commands are, it feels like telling a dog, or stay.
Sit and stay.
Yes. Or a toddler, stay.
Right.
It's the hardest command.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like itching to do it, I got to get out of this. The hardest thing to do is to stay. And I think it's a gift within our communities to kind of do that, to go, mm-hmm. there really isn't a new novel answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the old timeless truth,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to be with you in it.
Yeah.
I think that's the key, that we don't just give a truth and then walk away.
Right? 100%. Yeah.
I think our presence with them, which is what Paul's doing. You saw me, mm-hmm. you have me, and you have the truth.
Yeah.
And so if we can be there in presence with people and give mm-hmm. them the old timeless thing you've already known from childhood, Jesus loves me, this I know. In this season of suffering, guess what? Still true.
He loves you.
Mm-hmm. That's what you actually need to hear today.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to just tell you. I'm going to also be with you in it and share my own stories of pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's how we stay. It's like pretty simple and not novel or exciting or new, but it's like, it's as old as Paul and Timothy.
Well, you quit singing the song, "For the Bible Tells Us So."
There you go.
Hey, that's right. Today's theme is Jesus tells me this, you know, "For the Bible Tells Me So."
Well, and it gives us in 16, it's going to start to break down the three.
Yeah.
You know, you have a list there. Always pay attention to those.
Mm-hmm.
For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pretty much covers our life,
mm-hmm.
the way of living, the way of how we're to do things, conduct ourselves,
mm-hmm.
the training of our children, of how we discipline them, how we correct,
mm-hmm.
how we correct our own lives is all coming from the Word of God.
Which it's sometimes helpful in Bible study to just observe what it doesn't say. That it doesn't say all scriptures breathed out by God for your warm, cozy comfort. Mm-hmm. It's for training so that you may be equipped to have an easy life. Mm-hmm. Nope. So you may be equipped for good works in front of you. Mm-hmm. It does say so you'll be complete, but it is the scriptures are profitable to form us into the image mm-hmm. of Christ so that we be equipped for good works. It's not I think that's why maybe we're tempted to go to things outside, new things, because they promise us worldly comforts, mm-hmm. better income, comfier, cozier living, lifestyles. Here's what all my desires being fulfilled. Kind mm-hmm. of what you said, we have desires outside of that, mm-hmm. but God's word is a promise that it will inform you, it will form you, it will make you complete, lacking nothing. That's what complete, it's like you really just need the Bible. You don't even need the most recent Christian book out there that everybody's raving about. You actually don't need that. Mm-hmm. You just need this. That's enough to make you totally complete and equipped mm-hmm. for everything God would set in front of you that he has for you in this life. I think for those of us who want our lives to be impactful for the gospel, it's like, yep, just stay in this mm-hmm. and you'll be complete mm-hmm. and totally equipped for the good work I have for you, for your life to be fruitful and meaningful.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's all right there. It's not a worldly promise, but mm-hmm. it's the promise that we need. And it's a good reminder when this word feels when the Bible feels old or stale to mm-hmm. us. It's like, no, to stay in this mm-hmm. is going to make me complete and equipped. It's going to train me in righteousness and make me ready for what God has for me, mm-hmm. for my kids, for my grandparents, for my parents, for whatever thing is in front of me. That's right. This is the good thing that we need. Mm-hmm.
And there's a temptation to get bored with what feels old and to go outside of it. And there's a temptation to avoid mm-hmm. what's in that book mm-hmm. that doesn't feel relevant, mm-hmm. you know? But I like that it includes all scripture. It's like Leviticus is also profitable for you. Amos is profitable
for you.
All of the temple and tabernacle stuff in Exodus where you get stuck in your Bible reading.
Yeah. The measurements, which the genealogies.
One of my daughters just came to me this week and said that I'm in the middle of Exodus and I don't want to read it. And I was like, mm-hmm. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But totally. God, this is the verse that I preach to myself when mm-hmm. I'm in a part of the scriptures that feel like, really? A genealogy here, God? Okay. You know, that's you're going to give me that detailed list of all the offerings that they brought, the Israelites brought in that one moment? Okay. All scripture is God-breathed. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I don't need to understand,
right.
But I'm going to tell my heart that. I'm just going to read it and pay attention to it and trust that mm-hmm. in some way I cannot fully comprehend. Mm-hmm. It is equipping me. It is teaching me. It is reproving me. It is correcting me. Mm-hmm. It's doing all of that. So I'm just going to that's a good promise to hold on to. When you get to those boring parts, those weird parts, mm-hmm. the old laws really that you're like, parts. Really? The prophecies and the minor mm-hmm. prophets you don't understand.
Yep.
Read them anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to. It doesn't say all scriptures breathe out by God so that when you fully understand it and can teach it to others, mm-hmm. then it will be beneficial to you.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, it's the breath of God for you. Mm-hmm. It will be beneficial if you'll just read it.
Yeah.
Just go read mm-hmm. it, even if you don't understand. There's a supernatural element mm-hmm. there that it's like, you want to hear from God? He's like,
I am always talking.
Yes.
It's breathed out by me.
Talking there.
It's my breath. Mm-hmm. So go listen to it. Go mm-hmm. read it. And just go, I don't have to understand it fully yet.
Yeah. And get curious. We talked about asking people questions. Ask that book questions.
That's right. That's good.
One way to freshen up something that feels stale is get curious. Mm. Sometimes that just sparks
That's right.
We bring a lot of assumption. I've read this book. I know what it says. And now I'm bored. And it's like, you probably don't know what it says. Right. if we just go below the, I want an immediate feeling and experience when I read the Bible. And since that's not happening, now I'm bored. First, let's abandon that and let's get one level deeper. Learn to ask a lot of questions once you start reading, you're like, this gets a little crazy. Once you get curious and ask a bunch of questions, then it becomes a little bit exciting because then you're like, I don't know what's happening. Have you read this?
Yeah.
And people are the same way. Get curious about people.
Yeah.
You probably don't know that person's story. It would benefit you to hear the crazy things they've been through and the things that God's done. So if things get stale, ask God to make you curious.
Yeah.
Just start cultivating the ability to ask a lot of questions.
That's right.
What is happening there? Don't assume you know. Mm.
What a great word. Get curious about the people around you, faithful people, and get curious about God's word.
Yeah. Because
that's what's going to help you stay on the path.
Yep.
And resist the hostile age you're in.
Yeah.
Stay the course.
It's not a new thing. It's an old true thing.
Yep. Just
stay there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I can say it any better than those two just summarized this book. And so I'm not going to even try. We will see you next time. We pray you have a blessed week as you jump into the next chapter. We love you.